61st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Swung on a hit in the air, the deep center. That's back, away back. She is gone.
All right, welcome back to the Boys of 161st Street opening weekend, week is still going on. Weekend is over. Yankees take 2 out of 3 against the Giants. IKF plays a little bit of center. Glaber's hot. Basically the perfect opening day, and a lot of stolen bases are happening. How do we feel about opening week? This episode is presented by Tick Pick. Damon used Tick Pick, code 161, to get $10 off because Damon was at opening day. Talk to us about opening day, Damon.
Opening day, and I decided to go Saturday, too, because why the hell not? Opening day was awesome. I mean, beautiful day, sunshine, Anthony Volpe making his debut.
It was emphasis just, on the T, debut.
Well, now I'd just do it to mess with you, but...
it's okay.
How cool was it? How loud was it, I should say, for his first career hit? On set,
it was the place fucking exploded. Like it was
compared,
more exciting than the home run, than the home run that like Stan or Glaber Hill home run. Well, they both hit a home run, but
Stan's on Sunday literally like landed in the standing room.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see actually, that. Actually,
I've stood up there before and been like,
dude, I've never seen a ball hit that far in my entire life. Sure
enough. No, it was insane. The first roll call was sick.
Yep.
And then, what did he do? What did Volpe do?
Kissed the logo and
kissed the pinstripes and did a little like with it all.
I like that. I like that.
Kissed the pinstripes.
Nothing simple, too crazy. Yeah, I like it.
And the second on Saturday,
Judge, does the gardener?
He's been doing that when he plays center. He's been doing that.
I know. Yeah, I never knew that he did that. Like I don't know.
Yeah, he only does it in center field. He's been doing that for a long time.
I think it's pretty cool. I never knew.
What do you mean the gardener?
It's very cool. Yeah.
Like the little like flex thing. That's what Gardner flex.
Oh yeah, he's been doing that for a while. Yeah. I feel like somebody else did that before him also. Somebody shitty. I think it was Hicks. It was totally Hicks.
I think anyone in center field does it as like a tribute to Brett Gardner.
Oh, it was Brett Gardner who did it.
Well, yes. Gardner, yeah, it was like that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. No, I'm yeah, sorry. Welcome in. Good morning.
Dude, welcome in Luparella to the podcast. Yeah.
I mean.
Whatever. Well, the season has started, and our next partner as well. Get this out of the way. Keep the lights on here. Athletic Greens is a new sponsor for the Boys of 161st Street in the 2023 season. And this year, we're taking our gut health seriously. We're taking our health seriously. Chandler has actually been cutting it down to one pot of coffee a day. So baby steps, but taking Athletic Greens for him has changed his life. I know personally, he just told us a story about how he recently eclipsed 40 miles per hour at his ski trip and Telluride. So I don't think that would have been personally possible if he didn't take Athletic Greens every single morning. I as well take Athletic Greens every morning. I do it in my smoothies just because it's easy, but you can drink it straight up. It tastes phenomenal. Honestly, I do feel a little jolt of energy, and it's not like a coffee or anything like that. I still also have coffee, not quite an entire pot of coffee like Mr. Chandler, but I've been taking it and I've been feeling great. And it's been fantastic. Damon,
I'm thoroughly surprised. I take it straight up every morning. Just a little bit of water.
Raw no water. It. Just powder like the cinnamon challenge.
Nah, water. A little bit of water. Shake it up. Drink it. I feel fucking fantastic. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. So if you want to feel just as fantastic as Damon, and you want to add some supplements to your routine like that, something natural, Athletic Greens is giving a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/161. That's athleticgreens.com/161. Check it out. And maybe you can hit 40 miles per hour like Chandler as well. Speaking of people that are not in peak physical condition, IKF was playing center field recently, and do we think that's a professional segue for you right there? Do you think that's going to stick? / how do you think he looked out there?
No,
yeah, he really didn't look that bad, honestly. Like, I don't get me wrong, I don't want that to ever, like, anytime I see IKF in the lineup, I kind of shiver a little bit, but.
I think that's a fair question. I would take him over Hicks. Value to this team as being a super utility guy, and that's what he is. He can play anywhere in the infield, including catcher, and then if he can play somewhat of a semblance of the outfield than when we need it.
You know what? At least he's like owns up to sucking ass at shortstop. And he like, I think he can't. Yeah. He was like, he literally said in an interview the other day, like, I knew I lost the shortstop competition after I made an error behind Garrett Cole, which one is a totally fair question. Cause it was like a every other game thing, but he was like, yeah, I realized I was out of it. And I just want to be a part of the team and win a championship. Like, or you can go the Aaron Hicks route and just cry to every baseball reporter you can find on the internet and be like, I cannot figure out why I'm not playing. It maybe has something to do with my 100 batting average or
IKF
the fact that I dropped every other fly ball in left field. But
now, well, you brought that up. Let me first open up with the quotes from Aaron Hicks just to get that out of the way, and then we can start chatting about it. But in an interview with, I think it was Brendan Cuddy at The Athletic, he said, Joey has started to play better with the Dodgers, and I saw on a podcast, Los Angeles Manor, Dave Roberts played a big part in that, him wanting to get the most out of his players. That's what Hicks said. As of right now, I feel the more I play, the better I'm going to get, and that's not what's going on right now. Things are tough in New York. I don't have an answer. When I get opportunities, I'll try to make the most of them, but it's extremely hard when I play a game and then I'm off for 3 days, and now there's another outfielder out there. I don't quite know what I know he also, before the game, was talking to Meredith Marakovitz, and he was saying he just wants to make the most out of his opportunities, which, good for you, but I know Chandler was the one. I mean, you could tell who tweets from our account and who's the one who's actually writing it, because Chandler, not only does he curse like a sailor, but he mentioned that this is how you'd get benched if you were a high school player, if you just talked shit or to other news outlets. I know we didn't have really news outlets. Actually, Chandler did. Chandler was in the newspaper for softball when he was back in Niceville. But, you know, that's not the way to handle this, I feel like. So let's start there. Do you think what do you think about, what's your just initial reaction to it?
That wasn't even an exaggeration. Like, if somebody in middle school or high school got caught just bitching about playing time that much, they would have gotten sat down and either benched.
Do you genuinely think he's starting today because of those comments, like, specifically? And that's it.
If somebody of Aaron Hicks, like,
I don't know if it was 100%. Yeah. Like, he didn't play. I mean, we had like,
I think it has like 80%. Like,
I feel like he was due to play today anyway, but. Yeah, I mean, I see where the correlation is. I don't know. I think
they're so, like, hell-bent on coddling him for whatever reason. Like, if they were serious about not, like, hurting Hicks's feelings or not caring about it, rather, they would have cut him a year ago. Like, he has zero value to this team. Zero. Quite literally zero. IKF has now replaced you. Like, yeah, it's all about just coddling.
I'm gonna be honest. When I saw the opening day lineup, I still thought I was gonna see Hicks in there when it came out.
I did too, but after him being out for the whole first series, I honestly don't think it was due to the comments solely. Maybe Boone knows who Aaron Hicks is. He's aware of him. He didn't not play him because he forgot. He didn't play him. I just expect him to get spot starts like this, and I expect him to not do anything with them, and he's probably going to be... Do you think the next possible situation is that he could get traded in any, at all?
I mean, he's first one out the door, I think. Like, I don't think that he wants to be here, clearly. I mean, the fact that he's bringing up Gallo, talking about how other managerial styles clash, like, directly, I feel like Boone probably doesn't want him there. And he clearly provides no value. So I think that they're not going to try to hold on to him if anything comes along that's worth it.
And he doesn't – you're not going to get much in return, but
– But you look at the – if you're Boone and you look at the mindset, you know, IKF got moved from the shortstop position to a rookie, and he didn't – say anything. He said, I just want to contribute to a winning team. That's all he wants to do. And he can do that. And meanwhile, Hicks, who in my opinion is less valuable than IKF, plays less positions. I'm less confident when he's at the plate than when IKF is. And he's complaining about how he's not playing every day, but where he's got to look around and realize that he isn't a starting left fielder on this team, because
either Stanton's in right or he's DHing. I think Cabrera, all things healthy, no off days involved, is far and away the better fielder. And, you know, he can hit. So a little bit, he's struggling. But, I mean, I think he's delusional to think he belongs in the lineup or deserves to be in the lineup.
Well, yeah, well, that's the most ridiculous part. But what bothers me is, like you said, Cabrera's not in the lineup, and yeah, he's struggling a bit, but I would like him to get that everyday rest. We talk about this all the time, that young players need to get like consistent run time, and if they don't, they're not going to be in the best position to succeed. And we need players like that to get those consistent. Like, we always talk about this with Clark Schmidt. We talk about this with so many other players. I mean, it's just tried and true that it works. So I just don't know why. It's not like Aaron Hicks is some itch that we're trying to scratch to see if he's still got it in the tank. Like, he doesn't. He won't, and he's terrible. And it's just like, I just can't.
I get like moving around to find that third outfielder in the beginning of the year. Like, throw Frenchie out there, see how he does. Throw Hicks out there, see how he does. Throw IKF out there, throw Cabrera. Like, I think we're going to see that for the next month or so. And then, you know, whoever falls into that slot is going to fall into that slot. I think it's going to be Cabrera. But the way that he handled it to me is just like, well, now I think it's time to move on, however that happens.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to get in return, if there is a trade, and I think just overall it's the right move for every side. For him, he needs to move on. If he wants to end up being like a Gallo, I mean, Gallo is tearing the cover off the ball right now. Two former Yankees are now absolutely killing it in the short sample size to start the season. Chapman just pulled back 103 again. I don't know how that fucking happened, but that sucks if he gets back to good Chapman. It's very early to tell, but that was not fun to see in another uniform. And Joey Gallo hit his second home run of the season already, so that's less surprising to me.
That there was a deal in place to send Hicks to Colorado in the offseason.
For who?
I don't know, but we were basically going to swallow half of his contract to send him to Colorado and backed out at the last minute.
That's probably what we're going to end up doing. We're going to get some random guy, and it's fine. We're going to get some
random, like, single A.
Some slapdick prospect.
That throws, yeah, like, no, he's going to throw like 103, but he's never going to throw a strike.
Well, it'll be a beater type deal with Gallo.
Yeah.
I would much rather have Joey Gallo than Aaron Hicks.
Oh, me too, but
he's talking about the return. Like, the
return is going to be...
I know, you're not going to... I'm saying you're not going to get that good. Clayton Beater's a top 10 Yankees prospect.
Like, now he is, but I mean, when he came over, he was pretty raw.
He was top 20 instantly. We're not getting a top 20... My bottom line is we're not getting a top 20 prospect for Aaron Hicks. You're going to get, like, some middling hope. Not even a boomer bust. Like, you're just going to get basically a depth minor leaguer, and that's fine.
Like an Andujar type guy thing?
I still think that might be too much. I'm not even being a dick.
I'm trying to see, like, are you talking about like a 27th man type guy that like might have an option or two, or are you thinking it's going to be some 19-year-old that can't find the strike zone but throws 100?
He literally will get back a guy like some other team's equivalent of Estevan
Florial. I was about to say that. So Florial with options, which I guess we can use this time to unfortunately
a candlelight ceremony.
Yeah, say goodbye to Estevan Florial. He was sent down, which not effectively. He's officially cut, right? Is that DFA'd. How that works?
Yeah. He's done.
He was DFA'd, but he's if nobody now picks just him up, a free agent.
I think technically we still have his rights, but somebody's gonna pick him up.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if the Pirates don't pick him up. but yeah, we can use this time to say RIP to Estevan Florial.
I mean, we called it.
We expected it to be when somebody else,
like when he made the roster, it was like, all right. On. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be a trade that was going to move him from DFA after literally one day. I thought it was going to be like when somebody came back, but
yeah,
It's shocking to me that they did it for Johnny Brito, like, because they sent Brito down right after the start too. So they clearly just had zero, like, inclination to keep him at all. They were just like, yeah, we're gonna cut you anyway. It sounds like they just didn't know when they were gonna make up their mind, and they had to put a roster on the field, and then like, all right, well.
Well, I think they already had that trade in the works with what's his name?
They had been talking about it for a while.
Oh, wait. Like, I said Brito. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was the other
guy. Because Brito went down and the guy who's Hamilton, right, came up.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that backwards. My bad.
Well, we can use this as an opportunity to talk about Brito, because Brito did get sent down, but I don't think this is the end of him. And I was impressed. I mean, his last two starts dating back to spring training, he looked amazing in that start in spring training, which got us a little bit excited about, you know, him being that bridge guy until the Rodons and Seve come back. But, I mean, Brito was the first pitcher in Yankees history, I'm not sure if you guys saw this, to allow two or fewer hits, strike out six, and not allow a single earned run in a debut. That's the first Yankee in history. That's pretty good. So and also, he had a 50% whiff rate on his changeup, which looked pretty disgusting. So I'm very excited and very impressed with Brito. And injuries will inevitably happen, and I wouldn't be upset if he's the one that's filling that gap for when.
Well, that's what I was so worried about during the deadline last year when we got rid of Waldichuk and Werenski and Sears and, you know, all of those guys, was if we do run into the injury bug, you know, there's not a lot in the minors that's ready to come up and pitch from AAA. Like, we lost a lot of those caliber guys during the last trade deadline, and now seeing what he did, you know, in his debut and in the second game of the season,
that's a good feeling. We don't need a fifth starter for, I think, like three more weeks. So just based on how the scheduling is, I think it's just not, I think I came out and basically said it straight up that it's just we need an extra guy in the pen, saying you down to keep you stretched out as a starter, since we don't need a five starter. I'm totally cool with that. I think he'll probably, even when everybody's fully healthy, will end up getting a decent run at starting some games this year. Probably 10.
I was about to ask, what do you think the over under?
So might as well use him.
Yeah, probably 10 starts, because you've got to figure they're going to, last year they shut Nestor down for his like hamstring or whatever, but
10 starts, he even said.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think maybe over under like 7.5.
How many starting pitchers do we use in a year, though? We use a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Depends on the injuries, but yeah.
I don't know, 10? Like,
well, not even just depending on injuries. You got to think they're going to try and manage some innings down the stretch. Like,
but if you're an ace, you're getting 25, 26 starts?
No, Cole throws between 30 and 35 every year.
Yeah, I mean, Cole doesn't miss his start, knock on wood, but like down the stretch, like you said, guys like Nestor, who haven't pitched as many innings as he did last year in a while, they did a lot with his, I mean, we talked about before, they potentially even faked injuries so that he could just not hit the innings limit or whatever it was.
You remember they put Seve on the 60-day IL when he was like healthy and throwing to batters,
yeah.
And he was like, what the fuck? Like, I could go out and pitch tomorrow, and they're like, So that's what I'm saying. Just the way the organization treats injuries, especially to the pitchers, and rightfully so. I mean, Rodon's coming off forearm strain. That's something that could be potentially serious if it's not managed. He's probably if the Yankees play well and they're in the position where they should be coming down to August, September, they're going to skip some starts and make sure they're fresh for October. I think you're going to see Brito, if he keeps it up, rack up a bunch of dog day of summer, back of the season starts. I think 10 is a totally fair like number that he could get to.
I'd be
good.
Very happy.
Wouldn't be
upset. Are we worried about Clark Schmidt at all?
No more than I have been.
No. I mean, I personally thought he pitched great until the last inning he was in. He kind of just fucking, I think he just kind of had no more gas left in the tank.
Yeah. I mean, pitch count was getting up there because he was getting a lot of strikeouts. So that's a byproduct of that, but I don't know. I wouldn't go as far to say as I'm nervous.
He threw a lot of pitches, but overall he looked good. The cutter confirmed is really good. He threw that the majority of the pitches. 35% of the time he threw the cutter. And
with the numbers.
Oh yeah, big numbers guy today. That's the one.
Did you bring the book to the stadium?
It's really funny. I actually thought about it, but then I realized that I wasn't going to do it. But I want to do it one day.
A little bit of a joke, but I've done it, so not really a joke.
I thought about it, but I was never going to do it for opening day. But I want to go on like a random Wednesday and do it.
It's pretty relaxing. I did like, it on a random Wednesday.
In the right spot and that kind of thing.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
I was on the third baseline, pretty far down on a Wednesday.
We're on the third baseline.
And how it was, I think that's the proper spot to be when you're doing that, right?
Yeah.
Feet up on the seat above you.
Yeah.
The best spot would probably be like up against the front row wall. Your feet are up there on like the concrete or maybe even on top of the dugout type of thing.
I'm thinking somewhere like second or third deck behind the plate would be the best spot.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Stadium.
No, I'll be in the back corner if I'm going to do the book. I want to be like hidden.
Yeah. Up there behind the plate, but like I'm not talking like directly behind the plate, couple decks up.
Yeah, directly behind the plate, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 visible rows. So as long as you're outside the top six, I mean, I want people to know I'm doing the book, so I want to be inside that six. It's a wheelhouse right there. Anyway, moving on.
I think he pitched fine. He just threw too many pitches and got gassed out.
Yeah. When I was doing the book, I was putting a lot of SBs down for my man Volpe. So what do you think? Over under 80 bags for him this year?
Dude, first stolen base was awesome. That was sick.
80 bags. Yeah, Chandler, I would like to apologize for being wrong when I thought 35. Or what was it? What did you say the number was?
I said that I thought at 23-1, he was an awesome bet to lead the league in stolen bases.
Yeah, but you guys had a number out there more specifically, I think, but.
I don't know. Either way. I think I said he would steal 40 bases.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Did you guys see the overall?
Basically told me that I'm the dumbest motherfucker to ever walk this earth.
That's not what happened.
Did you guys see the overall across the league stats for this stolen open bases. Day versus last open day? Well, stolen bases, just like the batting lines and like the average time and pitch clock stuff. It was pretty cool.
I saw the stolen bases are way up from
So from the opening weekend last year to this year. Last year there was 43 stolen base attempts, 29 successfully, so 67% success rate. This year, 84 stolen base attempts and 70 success, so that's 83% success rate.
That's stolen bases. What?
Stolen bases.
On what? On opening day?
On opening weekend.
Weekend, okay. Because I thought it was for opening day and like 20-something.
I saw that graphic as well.
This year or last year. Yeah, so it was comparing this opening weekend to last year's opening weekend.
Now, I have a question on that. Do you think that, I mean, I really don't think it's about the bigger, it is about the bigger bases, but I don't think it's a byproduct directly because the bases are bigger, making it easier. I think people are just trying like way more often and they're seeing it as an opportunity to do it. They were all pretty gun shy before. And now they're all just doing it. Like they have the same or maybe a slightly higher success rate, like you mentioned, Damon, but people that weren't big stolen base guys just have the balls now to try it. And like Gleyber Torres already has 2 stolen bases on the year. I know sometimes he would steal, but he's like, today. Yeah, he has another one today. So like he's, I don't know. I think it's that.
Pitch clock.
It's a pitch clock, 100%. That's what I was about to say.
Or the pickoffs or the bigger bases, you would see it incrementally. And then
it's 100%
the
pitch
clock.
Three
of those together is, you know, really. But the bases is a difference.
To take a look at, when I was at the game, you saw people taking huge second jumps when that pitch clock was getting down. And even on Volpe's stolen bases that I was watching, the pitch clock was getting down to like 2 seconds. He just started to fucking run. And that's why they didn't even attempt to throw the ball down second base. Like it's 100% the pitch clock. It's affecting it a lot.
So now it would behoove
three pickoff attempts too.
The other thing about that, Damon, with the secondary leads, because of the pickoffs and the pitch clock is that now the snap throws from the catcher down to first because there's no limit on that. And so I think we're going to start seeing that more and more. They talked about it on one of the broadcasts this weekend. I forget which one, but that's Trevino's wheelhouse. He loves doing that anyway. Yeah. So I feel like he's going to catch a couple sleeping, which is good to have.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, just like in relation to the pitch clock, there was 40 pitch clock violations in the whole opening weekend, which was a little under 1 per game. So it's really not that having a big of an impact.
And those numbers will go down once people get more used to it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So just overall, I think the pitch clock is I am enjoying the pitch clock so far.
I was about to say, overall, I've enjoyed the pitch clock a lot. I mean, I know we were critical of it during the spring training when it first was introduced, we were all a little skeptical of it, and especially coming off that one game where it was decided on the pitch clock violation, which I still, even after seeing it and really liking it in this small sample size, I still think it should be turned off in the ninth inning and on. I don't think the pitch, no game should be decided by that, or maybe you just say that you don't have to turn it off, but maybe you just say, like, hey, it cannot be decided by a pitch clock, just insert that rule in there. But yeah, overall, I've loved that. And just on top of that, it seems like small ball is creeping back, not even creeping back, it's sprinting back. And just obviously the stolen bases, like we mentioned, but people are bunting more. I mean, I'm watching the game right now. It's Monday night when we're recording, and a single up the middle just now, a textbook single, like that is something that almost was lost with the shift, because with the shift now, it's amazing. You're seeing the athletes play their positions, and it's just that I think I'm more excited about than the pitch clock. Obviously, the constant action is great, but I just think the quality of the action has been so much, like, just elevated by so much because of that.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you see the thing in the Mets game? I think Jeff McNeil was hitting, and Pete Alonso took too long to get back to first or something like that, and they called a strike on him. I didn't even know. Like, it's like some new weird pitch clock rule happens every game. That's the only thing I don't like, is that, like, I fucking hate Pete Alonso, but like shit like that, I'm just like, what just happened? Like, it's just, I'm not used to seeing anything like that. It's probably a learning curve for myself, but
well, it sucks because McNeil's the one who gets, I mean, I know, like, it's a team thing, but like, McNeil's like, what's he supposed to do?
What the fuck am I supposed
to
do?
He was in the box.
The first time that happens to a Yankees player too, I'm going to absolutely explode. And it'll probably be irrational, and I will just dog cuss the pitch clock for the next like 6 months when it happens to a Yankee player.
I did think it would happen. I was very skeptical of it. I thought it was a mistake. And watching the first weekend, I'm like, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm okay with it. It's speeding the game up. It seems like it's doing what it was supposed to do.
Speeding the game up by a half hour on average.
And I like that idea of getting it back to what, you know, what it used to be with the, you know, speeding it up, that kind of thing. But as far
it's fine, it's that, just,
like, it's all right.
It's fine, but I know the minute that it goes against me, I'm just going to completely unravel. I know, because it's going to be like Josh Donaldson too, that's going to do it. And it's just going to make me explode.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm fine with it.
I still hate the runner on second rule in extra innings. I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
No, that's a fucking joke. That's a disgrace.
I don't think that's going to last five more years. I think, like,
dude, they got rid of that on Sundays of travel ball tournaments because it was too much of a joke. Like, you can do it on Saturday to get through the games, but Sunday they got rid of the fucking California ghost runner rule.
Yeah, I don't. At least it'll be, like, maybe amended, like, after the 12th inning or something. Maybe then they do it, like. If the game's being sped up anyway, you don't need the ghost runner to keep extra innings from going too long.
Yeah.
I love extra innings. I love, like, 19-inning games.
Yeah. So we mentioned Glaber with the stolen bases, but also with the stick, he's been pretty hot. So I just wanted to insert that in there, give him a little kudos, because I'm personally right about now very happy. There's a lot of trade rumors with him in the offseason. And leading up to opening day, I know, Chandler, you mentioned that almost you felt like it was likely that he was going to be traded and we weren't going to have an issue. This is before, like, Volpe was coming up and we'd be like, he's probably going to trade and that's going to be Volpe's opportunity to get in there. But I'm very happy right now as it sits that Glaber wasn't traded, because he looks right now in the small sample size like the player that he was in 2019 when he hit 38 fucking home runs. So I'm very happy with it. I hope he keeps it up. Also on my fantasy team, so that would be really dope. But I don't expect the stolen bases to be as successful for him and keep it up like that, because he's got three already. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Glaber?
I mean, this is what we've been waiting for him to do for 2 years now. So I'm not at the point where I can say I'm happy he wasn't traded or anything like that. I mean, like, obviously I'm happy right now, but it's been three games, so I'm not going to jump the gun by any means. obviously it's a very rather him start this way than the opposite. And he's the kind of guy who I think we talked about this all off season, but he's the kind of guy if he's hot in the lineup, it just elevates everybody else so much more. He's just a big piece, and he's at that bottom middle half of the lineup that is really just going to carry that, you know, second half of the lineup. And yeah, we just need him to continue this, and then I'll make my statement saying happy we didn't trade.
I would disagree with that. I think last year he had a very, very good season. He had 1 month in August after they floated his name around and he was basically traded and all those rumors came out that him and Pablo Lopez were switching teams. Like, then he just fell off the face of the earth. But you take that month out of the season, which obviously you can't do that, but look at his stats the rest of the year. They were on par with an all-star level player. Like, he's a damn good player. I really do think that. I think he had maybe a year in like 2020, 2021, where we started kind of losing faith. But I think last year was more in line with what last year taking out that month is more in line with what full-time Glaber is going to be. Like, I think he's going to be a 270 to 280 hitter, 20 to 30 home runs, steal some bases, play a solid, not great, but good second base. Drive in 80. Like, and that is a top 10 second baseman in baseball, if not better.
I think, yeah, he's,
and I'm so cool with that.
I think he's right in that, like, 6th to 10th best second baseman in baseball right now, and I think that's, like, you know, where he is. If he goes beyond that, great, but I think that we're totally okay with him doing that and hitting 5th or 6th in the lineup and playing everyday second base and, yeah, hitting 270. And the stolen bases, I mean, it's not like he's the fastest guy in the world, but now, you know, with the bigger bases, it seems like it's playing to his advantage. So
that's also not his game, though. He's not on a team to steal bases. So, like, no. He's not on a team to, you know.
But we don't have a lot of speed as it is. So if somebody else can grab a couple.
Yeah, it definitely helps. But I'm not going to define his successful season in stolen bases by any means.
Let's do his OPS by month last year. April, 701. May, 799. June, 817, 810. Then you get down to August, 464. September, back up to 959. So, like I said, throw out that 1 month where he hit 180, 204, 260, and he was just lost at the plate. He had a pretty damn good year. I would say even that is a little bit lower than my expectations for him. Maybe I'm setting the bar too high, but I think he's a good player. I really do.
No, I do too. I think it's more so about the inconsistency, because, like, obviously he had
wasn't
a
even
story.
Inconsistent. It was one down month, really.
No, I'm talking about a year. Like, we're talking about years right now. Like, in 2019, he had obviously a fantastic year. Had 38 bombs. 2020, 2021, he had pretty. I'm not gonna say terrible, but they were not great years. And then last year he kind of came back up, but like we were expecting. We're expecting that 2019 season all the time, but to your point, Chandler, that's not the reality. Like, he is not going to do that every year. So, yeah, I think that 2022 was like a very, very good season for him if you throw out that 1 month. So if he can do that again, that's fantastic.
Agreed.
And I think I'll kind of put a ball on it with this. I think them sending Peraza down brings a little bit of life back into that in a weird way. Well, right now, basically, Peraza's value is essentially zero. Like, you don't trust him enough to be a major leaguer. Even he's got nothing to prove in AAA, but he's there. If he struggles at all it does is drive his trade value straight down, but you don't trust him enough on the major league team. So, like, poor management by the Yankees there, but I think that also shows you where their head's at with Gleyber Torres, that they at least trust him enough to risk doing that with Peraza.
Well, Peraza's tough because, I mean, there really wasn't room for him. It's a crowded infield as it is because, you know, there's an odd man out between Donaldson, DJ, and Glaber anyway in that second, third matrix that they have. So you throw another guy into that, plus IKF who plays the infield. It really didn't make sense to have Peraza.
Cabrera, too.
But if you wanted – my point is that if you wanted to fit Peraza on that roster, like, you could have.
You'd have to cut Donaldson.
Or IKF or Glaber. And these are all things that were floating around that they were trying to find a partner for. And why risk that? Just, I mean, we've seen it with prospects and the Yankees have had time and time again. Why do you risk that if you think that they're your future second baseman, shortstop, whatever? If him and Volpe are truly your two future up the middle and you plan on cutting ties with Gleyber anyway, like, I don't know. I don't really see the logic in sending him down when you can cut IKF, you can trade IKF, you can trade Gleyber, get a pretty okay haul back. Like, you're not going to get like a top 10 prospect or anything, but you know what I mean.
The only way that makes the roster better, I think, is if you trade Gleyber for somebody that actually fits and then he slides in there. Because if you're just, you know, cutting IKF to bring him up, I mean, IKF's barely playing as it is, so somebody else is coming out of the lineup if you're playing Peraza, or you're bringing him up to sit on the bench, and you'd rather have him in AAA, in my opinion, at that point, to let him progress. Or so,
I agree.
Or you have him rotating around, like Glaber's been DHing, later. And you put him at second, and DH Gleyber, and you rotate him around with DJ, who's been playing third and DHing, and he just falls in that mix. I don't think it would be hard. Yeah, but I don't think it would be hard at all to get him 4 days.
I think it would be.
I think it would be too.
You're already trying to mix in Volpe. I know he's going to play shortstop pretty much every day, but like, you got Volpe, you got Donaldson, who you know they're going to give innings to. You got Gleyber, who you know they're going to give innings to, and he's playing well, so he should be. I think just the aspect that IKF, although he's bad, he does play outfield now, and he has that in the tool bag. And I think the biggest thing for me is I want him to be getting consistent Peraza. This is consistent playing time in the minors to develop, because he is still a young guy. So I'm not upset about it. I get it that that's a double-edged sword. Like, it could potentially hurt his value if he starts playing bad, but if he starts playing great and tearing the cover off the ball, then it goes up. So you don't always have to assume the worst there. I think you'd be really trying to force him in there, and I think he's better served developing.
I just don't think he has anything left to prove. You're not developing him. Now he's just sitting there. Like, I think it's a waste. That's all I'm saying. I think if you really want
to... Would rather him get reps and play in the minor leagues, and then if the opportunity comes, he can come and play more frequently? Or would you rather him just ride the bench and play every, you know, 4 or 5 days in the major league?
I just don't think that it would be every 4 or 5 days. I think this team would be instantly better if it was truly playing the best players, then DJ LeMahieu would be playing third, Donaldson would be on the bench, and you would be able to fit Peraza.
Yeah, the Donaldson and Hicks conversation is the same thing, though. Donaldson's never going to just like ride the bench peacefully. I agree with you.
He did for months last year. So, I mean, this is kind of like a dead end conversation because it doesn't matter, but I just don't know. I think it's stupid. I think this is, you have nothing to gain and everything to lose by putting him in AAA.
We'll see.
I mean, hopefully,
well, won't see.
I just have some crazy deja vu. I feel like we've had that exact same conversation, and then you've ended it with that exact point, and then we all paused for like 20 seconds.
They make dumb decisions, but you know what? Team's playing well right now. I'm going to focus on the positives. Like, Aaron Hicks is awesome at playing outfield.
In reality, though, Marinaccio, we were talking before about the trust tree, and he's going out there and making Chandler not look stupid. So he looks damn good. He could be moving up my trust tree for sure.
Yeah, he looks great.
Depends on
your boy Mike King didn't have a great start.
Whoop. Sorry, what did you say?
No, you heard Murph.
I had a buddy text me saying he was going to be the closer.
Marinaccio?
Could see that.
I can't.
Marinaccio is really good. He's really good. I don't know where the Marinaccio hate comes from.
It's not hate. You have a misconception with my reaction to that. It's just he's a young cat. I don't think he's closer material. I don't know. I think he's got nasty stuff, but I don't think there's a certain archetype for a player, but I don't think he's a closer.
I think he'll be a setup guy at the end of the year.
right now, at least. Yeah,
you don't think he's got the stuff like, to be, or the make.
He has the stuff. Closer. I don't know. Maybe he's just young.
It wouldn't shock me. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like
Volpe's young.
Most likely, I mean, you have to assume that Holmes is going to lose the closer role, which it very realistically could happen. But you know, that's an if. And then you know, you have Mondi who could theoretically close games. You have Loaisiga who could theoretically close games. You have Mike King, who's probably our best reliever. Whether or not he ends up in a closer role, that's I don't think
Wandy
had a tough outing.
He did have a tough outing.
Wandy fits the same role as Mike King of you bring in Wandy when shit's ugly and you need somebody to get out of it. And Wandy is he's been the like go to. He was the go to escape artist, I guess, with Michael King out.
Yeah,
outside of Marinaccio.
Yeah, Mr. King, though. What's your thought, Chandler?
It was his first time pitching after exploding his arm. I'll give him a pass. I mean, he literally snapped his elbow throwing a pitch. I'll give him a pass on giving up two runs.
I just want to say, I saw that happen. I was like, I can't wait to just ask Chandler about this.
Yeah, and one more thing, just because Volpe's up right now, and I wanted to talk about him some more. I know we mentioned him on the base pass and the stolen bases and everything like that. I just feel like, you know, down to that first at bat when he was up, it just he's a problem on the bases. And I just love like his mentality when he's out there. He and Chandler, you mentioned us. He's just in the minors. They talk about how phenomenal his first jump is and his ability to steal bases and all that stuff. Not necessarily just his speed, which he does still have, but it's just the way he dances around out there. And that's just the prototypical, like the jolt of energy that we're talking about. We're physically seeing it out there on the base pass. And that's not something we've really seen with this team outside of like a pinch runner or something like that. But like, that's a guy that we have now in the everyday lineup that we have never seen that dating back to, I don't know who, and his ability also to just work counts. Like he just did, he just got a walk to load the bases. And it's just like, he has such a, so far, obviously small sample size, but this is also talked about him as a prospect. He has such a major league feel for the strike zone, and it looks really good so far. And I love that and his ability to get on base. I mean, we were talking about him being that leadoff guy. I think it's way sooner than we even think that he could potentially be that leadoff guy because he's showing those tools early on like that. I mean, there's going to come a point, and I think – maybe in like 2 months, if he keeps it up like this, I know he only has two hits, but like, I just think he's showing a lot more than the batting average will show. And it's just all of the tools seem to be the prototypical leadoff hitter.
You can't expect him to come up and hit 400 and what he's done in between with all those hits. I am curious.
I think too at short.
You're right. He will be a leadoff guy in the near future. But until then, I think if he's hitting at the back half of the lineup, I almost want him in the nine hole. I like what he does on base. Like when he's on first base and you have DJ up next and the way he, and then Judge after that. And then, you know, it's him and then the top, like the way he is on the base paths. I like having him nine until he's ready to be in the top half of the lineup.
Yeah. I think I know what you're saying. I would prefer the full jump to be not him working his way down the lineup from like 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 to like that kind of thing. And then to one, I mean, if they're going to make a move, he would be better served as a complete lineup if he was just switched straight to the leadoff spot.
I just don't know if I'm ready to cut ties with DJ at leadoff. I don't know.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Tearing the cover off the ball to start the year. He looks like the DJ LeMahieu that finished top five in AL MVP back-to-back years, won a batting title. That's the DJ that's been here so far, playing awesome defense. Like, and if DJ's truly healthy, if he's truly healthy, I don't really want Volpe batting leadoff. Like what are you trying to get out of it, I guess, is the question. Because if you have DJ LeMahieu who's healthy and doing his thing, like you're basically banking on Anthony Volpe to be a borderline MVP to replace DJ.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yes, you are. Because DJ LeMahieu is that.
That's not what I'm saying. You're not replacing DJ there because DJ, I think, and we've talked about for a long time that he's better served in a running with in a spot in the lineup like a 3 or like a 5 or something like that with runners on, because he's the best hitter that we've seen on this team for a long time with runners in scoring position. His numbers only go up when that happens and when those situations arise. I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't think that him getting swapped, it's not a fault of DJ for getting swapped out of the leadoff spot. I've been talking about this before Volpe was even a thought. Before like when Volpe was just a prospect, I was talking about DJ being, I would like DJ to be getting more consistent at bats when the best guys are ahead of him. So like a five spot, like Glaber's hitting tonight, I wouldn't mind seeing him there. And I don't think it's a fault of DJ. I just think Volpe is that prototypical leadoff guy, and DJ does get a lot of fucking hits, but I would prefer those hits to come when people are on base in front of him.
I mean, it's fair. Take a look at like just the first two games.
Sorry, go ahead.
As I said, take a look at the first few games. Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I watched every game, and Volpe was leading off in a ton of innings. You know, the last out happened. It was nine top. And that happened a bunch. And I think like the double leadoff is a real thing. And I think that's the perfect place to put him. And DJ is one of the people who there's a runner on base. I want him up. I'm more confident with DJ Mayhew with runners on base. And if Volpe can get on base and then it's DJ fucking Judge Rizzo. Like, I mean, that's fucking incredible.
Yeah. And I'm not totally upset about it.
And Volpe is probably going to lead off like three or four innings.
Yeah.
That slow pout walk to first base after he hits a slow roller to the shortstop and he gets out by like a mile.
Base is loaded, one out. Yeah.
Literally just happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, oh my God, Volpe needs to be the leadoff. I'm just saying that, and I'll end it here, the tools I've seen out of him outside of just getting hits on the base pass, working the counts, just the feel for the strike zone, I can see him being a leadoff hitter. Wouldn't be upset either way because DJ is amazing as well. But that's I think whatever happens,
like, well, the season will dictate what's going to happen. Like, whatever, it's going to be clear cut. Either it's going to be Hicks needs to move out of the leadoff spot and Volpe absolutely needs to be leading off, or it's going to be stick with what's working. And I think I'm leaning towards it's going to work out the way it is currently, and we're going to rock with it. But either way,
I just I agree. I do think Volpe is a like prototypical leadoff hitter, but DJ's just been so good there. Like, you just have to factor in what you're missing with that. Like, yes, Volpe can come in and he can do an amazing job and he can steal bases, but like, again, you're putting something unknown in a spot that is known and arguably the best in baseball at what he does.
I get it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, there is that potential that DJ could be the best five hole hitter we've had in like Yankees history, because he is that good with runners in scoring position. And you have a few guys ahead of him that get on at a very high clip. If he's after Judge, I mean, that's a pretty damn good guy to have after Judge, not because of like the, you know, you'd want like a power guy after him, because Judge is going to get a lot of walks. I know he obviously hits a lot of fucking home runs. He's going to get on base a ton. He has a 37 game straight on base streak dating back to last year. If you get Judge on all the time and they don't pitch to Judge, DJ's a pretty horrifying person to have up next, but just because of the way he hits every fucking situation, every ball. That's my point. So, I think that's all I had. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
Hot start.
Yeah, hot start. I was about to say, just got to give some credit to Gerrit Cole, because he was lights out.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention him.
Lights out is a fucking understatement. That was a pretty hell good of a game by Mr. Cole.
What do you think about his hair?
Love it.
Very good. Looked like so? He got it cut 10 minutes before first pitch.
Yeah, probably so.
I think Gerrit Cole's going to be the hair con this year.
Yeah, and actually, it feels weird. It feels weird because we say that every year for good reason. Like, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball and has been for a long time, but it's just weird because he hasn't got one yet, so it almost feels like we're a broken record, like, oh, like that prototypical Yankee fan who's just like, yeah, Gerrit Cole, like, our guys are gonna win all the awards, but like, he hasn't got one yet. So at some point a pitcher of this caliber is gonna not fall into one, but he basically earns it or close to it every year, so I don't see why not. I'm gonna keep singing this song until he fucking gets one.
Why not us?
Well, most of the outside was like first year, but the other ones we just say that just being idiots. But like, I don't know. I kind of actually feel it this year. Also, I was listening to Mark DeRosa talk about him the other day, and
he loves like, Garrett Cole.
Yeah, because Garrett Cole's amazing. As he said, for good reason, Garrett Cole is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's like, his only downfall is he gets a little cocky with his fastball when he's pissed off. Like, he has runners on, he's walked a guy or two, and he's trying to, well, he's down like 2-0, like to Shohei Ohtani when he hit the fucking nuke to center field to take the lead in the seventh against us last year. He challenged Ohtani with a 99 fastball, like belt high, just to, like, basically slap his dick on him and Ohtani turned on it and hit it 500 feet.
But how often does he do that too with when he's ahead? Like he's like, oh, 0-2 count, my challenge fastball down the middle is coming out, and that's why he led the league basically in home runs last year allowed.
Yeah. But I mean you can lead the league in home runs and still be I mean Justin Verlander led the league
won
in
a Cy Young.
Home runs and won a Cy Young with a sub 2 ERA. So you can lead the league in home runs has just come at the most inopportune times. I've been saying it basically for a year now is that I think last year was just unlucky. Like that you're not going to give up all those home runs with people on base and be that caliber of a pitcher that he is and just continue to do that. That's a fluky season. It was still a damn good season. It's just the timing of his home runs is fluky. So I think he's going to come out and just, you know, last year was weird to say an outlier because he broke the Yankee strikeout record and had a, you know, mid threes ERA. But I think he's going to hover somewhere in the low threes, upper twos, strike out 275 batters and just, you know.
Also set the opening day strikeout record for the Yankees as well. 11.
He looked good.
I don't know the exact stats, but like the Yankees struck out a ton too.
They struck out 12 times against
Logan. Or was it Cobb or Webb first?
Webb.
It's Logan Webb.
Webb had a lot of strikeouts opening day.
I mean, Logan Webb's really good.
Yeah.
He is good.
I expected a lot of strikeouts opening day across the league because everybody's aces is going. What were we saying about Aaron Judge's comments?
Oh, I was just saying first home run of the 2023 season across all of MLB.
If there was any doubt.
That's cool. He's so good. He's like, he may have gotten better. He's hitting like 500 so far. He just got another hit. Two home runs in four games. He's so fucking good, dude.
Confirmed good.
Yeah, confirmed this contract has not impacted him whatsoever.
Just as good as Tick Pick. Everybody go download the Tick Pick app and go get your tickets. If you're going to a game, $10 off, use code 161. Also, go get yourself some Athletic Greens. Let's get healthy in 2023, huh? Chandler?
I'm so down for that. You know that's all I talk about is health.
Turning a new leaf.
It's true. I have not been one to treat my body like a temple, but Athletic Greens has changed that, so.
Yeah, and they're giving out a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/161. That's athleticgreens.com/161, and you can you too can hit 45 miles per hour on skis. Snowboard, excuse me. I think that's more impressive on the snowboard.
Yeah, you're definitely so fast. Go faster so scared. On skis than a snowboard.
Totally.
100%, yeah.
Congrats, Chandler. I actually think my top speed, let me pull up. Did you use that app, the
Slopes
speedometer?
No, oh, Slopes.
See, we don't know. Now we don't know.
Shorts and a t-shirt this weekend. It was pretty lovely. Got a sunburn and everything.
Did you think you were more aerodynamic with shorts and a t-shirt?
I would have been, but the snow was pretty sticky. We didn't hit top speed. We made our way down a couple of double blacks, though, barely. We're alive.
Ooh, see, I hit 47 miles per hour. That's unfortunate for you, Chandler.
You're on skis.
Wait, did I? 42.9.
Last time I used that app, I got a brutal concussion, and I'm never using it again.
Yeah, I think there's a direct correlation with using this app and getting hurt. I fractured my knee using this app. So, yeah. But you know what? I was able to recover really fast because of Athletic Greens. All right, see you guys later.